My message today is indeed. Thanks. I appreciate that very much. My message is indeed entitled Barnyard Metaphors. So the Bible tends to imagine evil things as being some kind of an animal or a monster. It would seem that for most of the biblical writers that it's helpful to put forward the understanding that messing around with evil can quickly spell doom, and it's clearly meant to convey danger. Satan is a serpent. Sin lurks like a monster at the door. The devil prowls like a lion looking for someone to consume in 1 Peter. In the Gospels, wolves snatch up God's sheep. And in Revelations, evil is like a plague of scorpions, and the devil is a great red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, admittedly, what we have here in today's text isn't so, well, dramatic. After all, most of us, without much effort, could basically shoo off Fox. Now, in part, that's why, in the same breath of calling Herod a fox, Jesus refers to himself as a mother hen and to his followers as chicks. Because, you see, if you are a hen or a chick, a fox isn't exactly the kind of trouble you want. Now, in a way, what we have here is a fox fable. Now, if you Google it, you'll find that there are lots of fables about foxes. And in most of them, the fox is wily and deceitful and wants to be in charge. Almost always the fox is very masculine. And his means of control usually involves strategies and power plays. He's in it for himself. And in the end, he wants to get his teeth around something. That's exactly what Jesus wants us to understand about Herod and his abuse of power. And there are some interesting implications about the machismo of masculinity as well as the dangers that go along with it that shouldn't be missed in this story either. See, we sometimes imagine that those who are the strongest and the most clever, like the fox, are meant to be the real leaders. It certainly is possible that those are some of the many unfortunate qualities that's kept historically people in power for a long time. But in this, our scripture, Jesus tells the old story about the fox and the hen, but with a twist. In this story, the fox is not destined to have his way. In this story, the self-destructive tendency of aggression and force will be underscored as Jesus wins out over death itself, not with power, but with love, with compassion. In Jesus' world, there are wily types who want to control people to secure their own personal advantage. And in this text, he gives the label of fox to Herod. But we know from other biblical stories that even the Pharisees, who presumably in this story came to warn him, cannot be trusted to do much more than protect and promote their own positions of power. We, of course, well, we have foxes in our present day and age as well. People who seek out their own advantage and use others to secure their own personal interests. Frequently, they play their stories out on the national stage. People like Kim Jong-un, or historically Hitler or Stalin. But you know, not all foxes of this world are that well known. They can work in offices, bake wedding cakes, and sometimes even run local governments. They're controlled by self-interest. That human instinct that was probably the inspiration for the writing of most fox fables. It is a motive that has something to say not just about the fox's actions, not just the fox's actions, but in many ways about all of our actions. See, no matter how you slice it, self-interest is a key element of survival. Because at the root of self-interest is self-preservation. We're all about self-preservation, which can slide down a quick and slippery slope to self-interest. And then we can find ourselves lying and gossiping and calling people names and being racist and sexist and heterosexist and so much more. The reality is that if we are not careful, we can unintentionally become that wily old fox ourselves. We don't wanna, and we're sorry when the times happen that we do, but sometimes it is us. Now, the good news is that Jesus flips the storyline on that old fox. And I would submit to you that if we are to be Christians, Christ-like, followers of the way, we are supposed to do the same thing. See, Jesus knows exactly what's going on in the self-serving conniving of those who seek to control. So he calls Herod the fox that he is. Jesus says, that old fox may want me to do things his way, but I have my own purposes. And when I am finished doing good works, when I finish being with people rather than sitting in a place of power and trying to manipulate them like he does, I'm heading for Jerusalem, the holy city where they kill prophets. Jesus knows where he's going and why. The foxes are afoot, on the prowl. And he intends to gather the chicks of this world, the least of these, the poor in spirit, those who are weeping, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the meek, the merciful, the pure of heart, the peacemakers. He intends to gather them in under his fold, under the fold of his wings as he spreads out his arms in love. He goes to Jerusalem because the foxes of this world want to have their way. He goes there to show to what lengths real love will go. In response to that love and grace, as followers of his teaching, we should seek to share the same love and grace with the world. Now, part of that means to challenge the foxes, but to do so with love, not violence. It means to play the role of the mother hen when we can, stepping up to join in protecting those who are being taken the most advantage of, like Gandhi and Dr. Martin Luther King and so many others. We must play the role of the voice of reason in this fable. We must play the role of the voice of justice in this fable. In this fable, we must play the role of author and begin to write a new narrative for the world we live in. A world full of foxes seeking power and prestige and willing to sacrifice any of those they see as foul who get in their way, frequently devouring them. I also want you to note that earlier when I said that out of our response to that love and grace, we must confront the foxes of the world, that I did not say we must do so at all cost. Because violence is too high of a price to pay. Hatred is too high of a price to pay. Division is too high of a price to pay. Becoming one of the foxes of this world is too high of a price to pay. Now, we've mentioned a little bit about the foxes in today's world, in places of power, in the workplace, and retail stores, and local governments. Let's go to a little less than comfortable, and possibly a more dangerous place. What do they look like inside of the church? After all, we should be more civilized, shouldn't we? Surely it wouldn't be so in your face and brazen inside of the church. Well, I mean, for the most part, it isn't. But it does bring up another animal that you might see on the farm, at least how I see it and how a few others do. Now, we've talked about foxes and hens and chickens, but to address the problem of abuse of power in the church, I'd like to bring in another barnyard animal that's also somewhat biblical. Cows. Sacred cows, to be specific. In many churches, pursuit and control of power comes under the more palatable guise of control. William Easom says in his book, and this is a great title, Sacred Cows Make Gourmet Burgers. As he says in his book, control takes many shapes. Our insistence on controlling everything that happens in our congregations and denominations. Our desire to coordinate everything that happens or to know about everything that happens or to insist on voting on every new issue or ministry. A parlor that few people use, a kitchen that no one but designated persons can be in. In the modern church, the foxes acquire and keep power via control. Control is established by designating sacred cows. Or as Easom says, Webster's defines a sacred cow as, quote, one immune from criticism or attack. The term comes from a Hindu veneration of cows. Sacred cows are more important than people, causing some people to literally starve to death while surrounded by sacred cows. No one even considers the possibility of using cows for food. To do so would be sacrilegious. The same is true for the modern church. The reality is, while it may not be anything close to the norm here, I have seen signs of it. As Ethan says in his book, we see signs of sacred cows in statements like, we've never done it that way. We don't do it that way. Won't that open us up to liability? Who gave you permission to change that? Within the church, the way to lovingly confront those who wish to control, is to create an environment that rather than asking the question, who gave you permission, make the statement, you already have. It's a matter of empowering others just as Jesus did. Rather than seeking power for ourselves like Herod did. The good news is while the church at large is still struggling greatly with this problem of control and sacred cows, we at the Church of the Covenant are actually doing pretty well. There's surprisingly little gossip. Outside of a few folks, there's not a lot of negativity. There are simply fewer sacred cows here and a lot more permission giving going on, which is simply the loving thing to do. But let's not lose sight that we, like most communities, still have some work to do. So, that's the church. What about the world? The foxes seem to lurk in every corner of the chicken coop, looking to take advantage of not only those who are weaker, but also those who they fear. What do we do? Well, that's why I brought the church into all of this, actually, to mix my barnyard metaphors. We have to continue working to set our house in order if we want to get to the work of cleaning up the pigsty that's been made of the chicken coop. That is, it's helpful. It's very helpful to have a strong and healthy foundation that confronts power by leveling the playing field. It's helpful. It's helpful to have that here in our church and in churches everywhere. So that we can have a solid foundation and a place to retreat and to recoup. A place where we can be folded under the arms of our community and gain new energy and new insight and new knowledge. And a place where our very spirits can be renewed rather than drained. So that we can go back out into the world where the foxes lurk. And stand with the least of these, the poor in spirit, those who are weeping, those who are hungry, those who thirst for righteousness, the meek, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and lovingly confront those who would sink their teeth into them and into us. There are Fox fables working themselves out in this world every minute of every day. If we wish to follow the teachings of Jesus, we must get to the difficult but rewarding work of flipping that story. We must play the role of author and begin to write a new narrative for the world that we live in. The good news is that with love and the support of our community, we can help write this story and make this a better world for all people. Yes, to share with your community any of your own thoughts on the scripture today or on the message. Are there those who have thoughts they'd like to share? We have a couple. That's great.